evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Ask the Akasha with Donna Fox, and this program is dedicated to helping humanity know how marvelous access to the Akashic Records are. This is a program that is dedicated to our listeners being able to ask questions about how to use the Akashic Records in their lives, and it is sponsored by Akashic Record Consultants International, and we are an organization that helps train, that trains certified consultants and certified Akashic Record teachers internationally, and you can look up Akashic Record Consultants International at www.arc-akashicrecords.org. I am Donna Fox, and tonight we have a very special guest tonight. The guest that we have tonight is so dear to my heart, I can't even express it. The woman, her name is Elena Chavalea Lieberman, and she opened up a whole new world to me, and she actually made it possible for me to change my life and to work in the space of the Akashic Records, because she is my Akashic Records teacher, and she will always be my teacher, and I also am honored to call her my friend. And she's also the historian for Akashic Record Consultants International. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce you to Elena Chavalea Lieberman. Hello, Elena.
Hello, and I want to thank you so much for the honor of being on your show. You're doing a wonderful job, and it means so much to be able to share this gift and legacy with the listeners, because this process has meant so much to me in my life, and I can only hope to share and inspire other people with the magnificence of this work and what it has to offer. So thank you.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. In fact, Ellen is going to be on our program tonight, Ask the Akasha, which is now, wherever your time zone is 5:30 Pacific. It's just going to make it easier if we all go by Pacific time and adjust our times accordingly. And she's also going to be on the program tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time for the Akashic Wisdom Show. So if you have friends and you enjoy this program tonight and you want to hear more of the same, it's going to be a different show, but you'll also be able to call in at both shows and ask questions. In fact, let me get to those telephone numbers so that you can call in with your questions, although I have some questions that we want Elena to talk about. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Akashic Records and the Kabbalah, I hope. I hope we get that in. But the telephone numbers that you folks out there can call is, in the U.S., toll-free is 877-270-8714. In Canada, you can call direct, toll-free at 888-861-3519. And for the international folks, you can call the international code for the U.S. is 01, and it's the area code is 530-413-4515 or 01-530-9026 or 01-530-876-3223. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are not rollover numbers, so if one is busy, just hang up and try the next one on your list. So, Elena, tell us. I would just love to have you just tell us the story of how you got involved with the records, briefly, or however long you want to take it. I want this program and these two programs to be devoted to your story, your insights, and whatever it is you want to share, because you have the most amazing talent of going to the depths and the heights of the Akasha that truly everyone in the Akashic Record Consultants International, we honor you and really admire the depth of your abilities. So tell us how this all began for you.
Well, it began in a kind of a funny way, actually. My husband had a misplaced disc, and he was going to a chiropractor, and Alan found himself on a list for a seminar because of the chiropractor with a woman named Mary Parker. So he went back to the chiropractor and said, you know, who's this woman, Mary Parker? I got this strange mailing on a little postcard. And the chiropractor said, I sent that to you. Mary Parker works with the Akashic Record, and she was here once before, and she's coming back with a seminar. So my husband went. This was in 1989. The next fall, my sister and I went to the class, and there I saw Mary Parker, who was, to me, a glowing light. I walked up to her, and I looked at her, and I said, will you please, the next time you come, will you please stay at my house? I did this. I didn't know anything about her. I immediately recognized her as my teacher, immediately. It's like something you read out of a book. She did not resemble anyone I had known before. She was not similar to anyone in my childhood. But I knew that, she was pure. To me, she was almost like an angel there, glowing, like a ball of light. And I wanted to be close to her, and I trusted her implicitly. So I went, it was at the Bismarck Hotel in Chicago, and we had a seminar, and right from the beginning, it was taught very differently, although we used the same sacred prayer. The format of teaching was quite different. Immediately, things started to open, and things were not organized. My first person that I read in a circle was someone who was angry about something, so the anger kind of jumped out, and I sat back, and she came by and gently aligned me, sort of put me down in the seat to just relax and sit up straight in a relaxed way. And I started to just say what I saw. I didn't know what it meant or anything like that. I just started talking. Now, it was the style in those days that people would just sit down, you'd work in yourself and you'd work with other people, and you just kept going to one person, then the next person. So there wasn't time to judge what you were doing. You just kept going, and gradually things began to open. I have to say, by the end of the first day, when I went home, I had experienced a level of what I called love that I had never experienced before. It seemed like myself. It seemed like I became acceptable to myself in love. I didn't worry anymore. Something had happened. Something completely different than anything I have ever experienced before happened that day. And because of that, I loved it unconditionally. That is the major thing that happened to me after the first day of working in the seminar, in the records. That was my response.
So I'm gonna ask you just a couple questions. I just want to actually go back for a minute because I know that our folks listening in are probably curious about this. There's couple questions I have to ask. Number one, why do you think the chiropractor wants? Let me just ask the questions you can answer me one. Why do you think the chiropractor wanted Alan to go to the class with Mary? That's number one. And number two, what was there about what was happening with Alan that made you want to go to the class a year later?
First of all, at the time, Alan was searching for deeper identity. And he was asking a lot of questions. He went to a lot of different styles of spirituality. He was exploring. So while the chiropractor had been working on him to get well, he had asked some significant questions, and apparently the chiropractor felt that he might be interested in this type of thing. Mm-hmm. So he sent him. He sent him that. There was a practice period of 30 days after the seminar, and my sister, Ronnie, who is very active in the records, and I literally pestered Alan, we called them readings at the time, to read us. We were very fascinated because it seemed to open a line of thinking to him that was not his usual way. He seemed to have insights. He seemed to be able to tune into a different way that was not his usual way, and it seemed very deep, so we couldn't get enough of it. It was attracting us all the time. We wanted to know more about it. It seemed very, very valuable and profound, like a missing link to life. That's why I asked him all the time. And I knew after the first day, I came home and declared, this is for me. I knew this was it for the rest of my life. I knew that.
You know, that's interesting because I felt the same way. When I took the class with you, it's like I felt like I had come home.
This type, it's interesting, the popular book, The Secret.
Yeah.
Which is not about the records, but it makes an interesting point. I was reading something in that today. When you work in your own records, you feel like you are there, that you have everything there for you. It's present. It's in a totally manifested way at a deeper level as far as your feeling state. So when you talk about all the popularity of manifesting, you know, that's going on now, you reach a level that is a recording in what has manifested in you, how you are. In a very deep way. So the things you have blocked that are your essence, your inner nature, that is what is etched into the records, your very spirit, your nature. That's what you tap into. It puts you into alignment. If you can go to that place, then your expressions in your life, your manifestations in your life, follow in alignment once you know your authentic spiritual nature. So when we teach, we emphasize now your own inner work, to keep in touch with your essence, to see when you're going a little off back or absorbed in some other kind of looking out into the world that may not really be you. It puts you back into an alignment of your underlying tone, your underlying essence. That's the importance of this work, because then you can work with who you truly spiritually are and share that with the outside world.
And so when we open the records with the holy prayer that Mary received from Johnny Prochaska, just as an aside, ladies and gentlemen, the prayer that we use is a prayer that was brought forward from a Mayan woman to a man by the name of Johnny Prochaska, and then Mary Parker, our founder, and she hates it when I call her master teacher, but to me that's where she's at. But Mary Parker, you can learn about her at the ARC website at the www.arc-akashicrecords.org. But the prayer itself, and by the way, that's been translated again from Mayan to Spanish to English, that's what aligns us. Is that correct? I'm asking questions, Elena, not because I don't know, because, you know, as a teacher, I pretty much know all this. I'm asking as if I were a listener listening in.
The prayer attunes and aligns us to accessing the Akashic records. It is a vibrational composition, if you will, that will tune us in to opening us to this level. The level is within us. It is part of us, but it is so deep that it is in the field of essence energy that is transcendental in nature. So you transcend into a vaster field. And in the vaster field, then you get into the concepts of masters, teachers, and loved ones, and supreme guardians that go beyond self, that we are also attuned to as part of ourselves. So people often say, well, are you looking at something outside of yourself? Are you looking, isn't it part of you? Why are you saying a prayer if it's part of you? These are very typical questions. The answer is it's so deep inside of you that you're aligning with that prayer. You're aligning with the cosmos, with the higher levels, with the heavenly realms, and going into yourself, into that which is the same vibrationally, that which is heavenly, that which is spiritual, and you are creating this magnificent corridor which allows you to access these deepest layers of self as you are ready to go.
I have a question.
We have someone on our line. Hello there. How are you?
Hi, I'm Barb Thomas from Chicago. I'm also friends with Elena. Hi, Elena.
You're a friend of Elena's, and your name is Barb, did you say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. So
yes,
what is your question
here? Asked me to go ahead and start talking, so that's what I'm doing.
That's good. What is your question?
I have a question for Elena, and that really has to do with, while I've had readings with you, Elena, my question is, does the Akasha, and I don't think I've ever asked you this, does the Akasha actually represent something that's solid-based, or can we actually change our records?
First of all, the Akashic level is actually a field. It's a field of energy that is so refined we would call it essence. And it is transcendent in nature. And now there are books that are defining it more scientifically by quantum physicists. Irvin Laszlo has a good book. So you're talking about a vibrational field that is more refined than light. It exists encoded in us and also outside of us. There's the Akasha, and then there's your personal record, which is also inside of you and transcends into another level. The magnificent quality of the Akashic field is that it records and the Akasha creates at the same time. Therefore, it is possible for you to become a co-creator with the Akasha. There are what we call guardians or masters or lords of the records, which are very evolved realms of consciousness. You could personify them. The human mind may personify it, but it is a consciousness. And we do ask permission if we are to adjust anything in the record. It is possible to do that, and we do it through grace. We lift through grace and give it over to God, to let go, to complete. In other words, we want completions. In older texts, it's called corrections, but we give it over to grace to complete, and therefore you are changing your record. You are completing something that does not serve you in your co-creation with the divine. So it is possible to change things in the records for the highest good.
But how does that relate then to not only free will choice, but to the curriculum or the soul's intention of experience on the planet? How does that relate?
One reason to incarnate is to elevate the soul through the planes of existence, to rise to a new understanding. And so when we set a spiritual intention of evolution, of doing goodness, of not suffering, of bringing clarity, of bringing truth, we can set an intention of doing that and helping all the others in love, in a completely divine, loving state. And by setting intentions around that, it is possible to complete patterns that have held you down from that position and let go and, if you will, spiritually ascend to a higher level of awareness or consciousness or soul. It is quite possible through grace to do that.
Barb, do you have another question?
No, that was an important thing that I wanted to get clarified, and I appreciate it. Thanks, Elena.
Thank you very much for calling in, Barb.
All right. So long.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome.
I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. These are the kinds of questions that we so welcome, and we so want you to call in and ask these kinds of questions. It's the deeper meaning of what we're doing that we really want to be able to share with you. So if you have a burning question similar to this or something around the process of accessing the Akashic Records or a question like this, please give us a call at 877-8270-8714 or 888 in Canada, 861-3519. Or if you'd like to call us directly, it's 530 413-4515 or 530-876-9026 or 530-876-3223. I'd like to also take this opportunity, Elena, if you wouldn't mind, you now do telephone readings as well. Is that correct? You're still doing
That's
telephone
correct.
Readings? So, and you're still doing workshops, and so I don't know
oh,
if
yes,
you have...
Oh, yes, I have one coming up July 28th and 29th with my sister Ronnie Reisler, a Level 1 workshop that will be
Chicago.
Held here in Chicago.
Great. But and if someone wanted to call you for a consultation or to register for that class, can you share your contact information, please?
Yes. My email information is... Radiant Center, RADIANTCENTER, at yahoo.com.
Hello?
Hello?
I just want to have Elena give her telephone number, and then we'll get right to you.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. Just hold on for 1 second. And Elena, can you share your telephone number with everyone?
My telephone number is 773-743-8104.
And someone can call you and make an appointment to do a consultation with you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I do them
okay.
over the phone or in person.
Great. Okay. And we have another caller on the line. So, hello, caller.
Hi. My name is Will. I'm an old friend of Elena's from San Francisco from years ago. And
hi, Will.
Very
how
happy
are
to...
you? Know, I'm getting singers tonight. The last person is
oh.
also a wonderful vocalist. Will is a wonderful singer.
Yeah, I was just very happy to hear you say that your contact with Mary Parker led you to take greater satisfaction in yourself, and so you must be doing something right with her, because I knew 25 years ago that you were a nice, decent person.
Thank you.
So whatever you discovered with her must be accurate. So I didn't have a question, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, thank you very much, Will. It's good to hear from you. As an aside, Will Connolly is one of the leads with the Lamplighters doing Gilbert and Sullivan in San Francisco, and I was in that company
great.
25 years ago.
And, Will, have you learned about the Akashic
ago,
Records?
But...
Will, have you learned about the Akashic Records from Elena?
Well, no, I haven't. I haven't seen Elena in I guess it's 25 years.
Wow.
Since she moved away from San Francisco.
Well, she's as beautiful as ever, you know. I've got to
well,
tell you.
Well, I can believe it. I can
yes,
believe
thank you.
It. She was a beautiful gal from the bones out 25 years
Absolutely.
Ago. So I'm sure she still is today.
One of the things
anyway.
That the records can do is facilitate and assist you with your creative endeavors. Now, for instance, if you are working vocally or if you're working on a show, you can use the records to develop a rehearsal approach. I did this with my last series of shows, imagery. I asked for imagery on what to do with my voice. I asked for imagery on how to communicate the dramatic content of the song, and also the placement of the tone, the uplifting, like a scene, like lifting it up. I was shown pictures of lifting the sound up almost into light-filled rooms. I also check in the records about the nature of the audience and what I can give to them, the kind of love that they need. I deal a lot with senior audiences. Those things were very valuable insights from the records work. Now, in other arts, of course, my sister Ronnie does magnificent mandalas by opening the records of people's souls, and the art imagery just pours into her, and she uses mixed media in the mandala shape, the sacred circle shape, to depict their inner nature. And the records are very creative along these lines, very supportive.
Good. Well, listen, I'm going to get off the air here and give somebody else a chance.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for stopping in. Thank
okay.
you very much.
But keep up the good
thank
work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye. You have a lot of fans out there, Elena, and so you've been working in the records since Tell us the year again, since 19 when?
1990.
So we're at 17 years. And so talk to us about how the records have affected your life and what interesting stories you have to tell. Talk to us about not only what the records have done for you, but I know that you have some interesting stories about how the records have paved the way for you, especially when you were teaching with Ronnie and your travels. Can you share some stories of that?
You know, what I'm being shown, or what comes to mind right now, is we did a lot of work in South America.
We
went there for 6 or 8 years, once a year. We originally connected with the people in South America through schools that were given in Miami, Florida.
Right.
When we went to South America, there are many different metaphysical schools that are very active in South America. Very frequently, the type of work we get from the records, number one, is very appropriate for whoever asks. It comes forward in a way that they can work with. This is very important. But one of the qualities is that it almost simplifies or cuts through jargon or formula and goes into the undertone immediately. In other words, what's really the feeling underlying that person on a very deep level? What is in that person's heart that they are really dealing with so they can feel that, walk through that door for an understanding of what their inner essence and nature is? This is the most valuable gift to me of the record. So you could take people of different cultures, people who are emotional or reactive, and you can work with them in a way where they will say, this is truly what's happening underneath, and then they get the feeling of that. And if they can hold that space, a stillness ensues. There may be emotion, then a stillness, and then there is a realization that wells up for them. Sometimes it does not happen immediately, but it's like they're off the path and suddenly the path of the real self is revealed. Once that truth is there, it's eye-opening because they say, how could I have done that? That isn't who I am. I see that's not who I am. I'll forgive myself for not being who I am. And that was one of the things that comes up when there is more drama. If there's a person who has more drama around them, more emotions, often a simplification is very valuable from the records. We traveled to different places in South America. We traveled to different states. And we watched people come into attunement of their vision to get underlying truths many times in rooms of people. Was very valuable in that way. I know I'm generalizing, but it's hard to characterize all those years and all the different
people. I want you just to talk about whatever comes to you. I know that both of our records are open, and I want you to speak based on what the records are, what's coming for you.
That's what's coming. Those were the big breakthroughs when people, it's almost a quieting down. They quieted down into their authentic self. That's when things begin to happen, and they lose fear. They're not afraid that self, if there's fear, they move through that and realize they become themselves. When I say, it's not an ego self. It's the wafting, like essence wafts, like in a fragrance. It's that subtle self. The subtle self is the self that is the underpinning and the original blueprint of what the larger self will become. This reminds me of something. I'm getting to introduce it now, although we're not there yet, but this idea of sensitivity or the subtle self.
Yes.
It turns out that Kabbalistically there is quite a bit of writing about the Akashic Record, and I was unaware of it before a couple weeks ago.
Oh, talk to us about that. That's great.
I mean, there was the Book of Life, the Book of God, God's Remembrances, but it turns out there is extensive writing on the Akashic Record by the famous Kabbalist Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital lived 1543 to 1620, and he was a disciple of the Arizal, or Isaac Luria, who was very famous. And he was also a disciple of Joseph Caro and Cordova. Cordova is sometimes attributed with writing his great writings, but it's usually because he lived during the printing press. The Zohar is sometimes attributed to him.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Cairo was originally, his family came from Calabrese in Italy, although he was buried in Damascus, and then his grave was moved to Israel. He wrote the Book of Incarnations, or Reincarnations, called Sefer Gilgulim. A Gilgul in Hebrew is a reincarnation. And it's a very elaborate book. He also has other books under the category of Heavenly Registers. In this book, he states, one of the things that he states is that there are three reasons why souls incarnate. To correct past lives, to elevate the soul to higher spiritual levels, or to be a leader, a guide, or a teacher to other people. He gives those as the three main reasons. Now, what really caught my attention, and I had never seen this anywhere, because when I started talking about this, it reminds me, he characterizes the gifts of reincarnated souls as having seven aspects of hypersensitivity. And this is a new kind of thinking. They actually read an author who talks about this word, the sensitivity. He says that every soul chooses a specific level of sensitivity to learn from the stages it has during life. And sensitive souls are old souls. They often feel unsettled in the physical world. They feel isolated or lonely in the physical world. They need time to adjust to life on earth. Once they learn spiritual rules of controlling their sensitivity, they have very productive, fulfilling lives, but they need to learn these rules. They must, in a sense, close some of the sensitivity off to what they call lower souls. Now, lower souls are souls that are not deriving a lot from their own life force, but taking from others. The sensitive souls need to connect to life and love instead of death and hate to thrive. So they are here to teach, and they will seek ways of connecting to the vital force of life and to love. Now, I thought that this was very interesting. I haven't seen things written in exactly that way.
It is very interesting. Where did you
find
that?
Very interesting. So he has a very formal way of dealing with the incarnations. It's also very detailed. And he has a book of tikkunim, which means corrections. So there's that element of correcting a little. It sounds like a little more judgmental than our style. But it's very detailed. But it's interesting to note that this was being written up, or the Akashic Record is very developed in the Kabbalah by these types of authorities. So I thought I'd bring that up.
I'm very interested. What did they actually call it? Did they use the term Akashic Records? How did they refer to it?
Translation is the eternal. Translation in from the Hebrew is the eternal divine records, known as the Akashic Record. And it's the recording of everything that has happened in past lives and happens in this life. His actual book is called The Book of Reincarnation.
Wow.
He has other books under this terminology, Heavenly Register, which is also a Hebrew translation. Incidentally, the word aura is a Hebrew translation. Ora means of light or radiance. Or is light in Hebrew, ora.
Interesting. Now, are these books that you have read, are they in the original Hebrew, or are they translated into English?
There is a website
that referencing me.
That highlights this, and the website, you would just go to the Book of Reincarnations, or under Chaim Vital, and you'll get, there is an author handling all of these books in detail. You can print out, it's very detailed, and you can see these books, and they are available in all Hebrew, but it would be difficult to read them.
But I'm saying is if one of our listeners wanted to go and go further into this, how would they get a hold of this information?
You can Google the Book of Reincarnation by Chaim Vital.
And Chaim, can you spell the Chaim Vital for everyone?
It's Chaim. That's the first word. And Vital.
Chaim, right.
Vital.
V as in Victor. Ital,
yes.
Correct, yeah. Okay, all right. That's very interesting. This sounds like it's new for you, and there was it's very new for me. And when you say that there's the different levels of sensitivity, I'm curious as to how does that the various levels of sensitivity rather relate to I'm going to call it the battle of the soul and the personality.
Let me go into this for a second. What he's doing, he identifies many qualities of the hypersensitive or the sensitive person, and he says in his work is that the more sensitive you are, the more you are able to realize your soul, your authentic soul nature. One of the things that happened to me through working in the records is, especially in the early years, people used to say to me, "Oh, you're too sensitive. How do you expect to be in the world? You're too sensitive." The sensitivities actually became heightened in working with the records. They also became more organized. I suddenly realized that I could sense a repertoire of things, a vocabulary of sensings, and they seemed purposeful. For the first time in my life, suddenly the various energies and vision through feeling had a purpose. Prior to that time, it just seemed kind of arty, something an artist might have, and so I tried to channel it in different directions. Once I learned to read the records, it seemed purposeful. It gave my life meaning, and I could use those skills to help myself and other people. So the sensitivities to what is going on in life become a vocabulary where you can see support for yourself and use that input in a way that is constructive for your life and positive. So that's the benefit of it.
And what did he say the seven levels of sensitivity were?
The seven levels of sensitivity. He states it in a variety of ways in his work. Every person has a specific level of sensitivity for each stage of life. The more sensitive a person is, the greater one's potential and ability to succeed. This is provided one understands the gift of being sensitive, learning, and knowing when to open and close the sensitivities. Now, one is that you have special sensitivities for each stage of life. All sensitive souls are wise old souls reincarnating. Sensitive souls feel unsettled in this physical world, so you need to find the right place in the physical world to reside and be. Sensitive souls feel isolated and lonely when they are not connected through people or spiritually or in the right place. They feel isolated. All sensitive children have a gift. Number 5, sensitive souls take time to adjust. be aware and understand the concept of soul, understand the bigger picture of life. Number six, success for sensitive souls as soon as one makes the right connections spiritually. And seven is keeping connected to life and disconnected from death, meaning life and love or spirit. So that's very interesting. And then there's a fabulous quote, good souls, when they die, are in fact alive. Bad souls, when they are alive, are in fact dead. So he's using a good and bad, he's using a good and bad context here, but he's talking about keeping yourself vital with the internal force.
Well,
so
I think
that's his comment. It's more developed in the whole book.
Yeah. Have you ever read? I mean, when you found that information, did you open your records and read that information with your records open so you could receive commentary from the masters, teachers, and loved ones?
Well, what I get on it is that, first of all, I am the type of person who, instead of learning about something from a book, I prefer to be in process with it. So that,
sure,
instead of reading the whole book, I would like to feel what that is. But a lot of it gives the feeling of depth within, or worth. It increases your sense of worth to know that your sensitivities are giving you tremendous amounts of information all the time. And that's what I get from the records, that the sensitivities are not there as a reactive state to the outer world only, that it's the very nature of your life flowing internally through you. So I have to work on this further with the records open, but I think it's very valuable to know that there are, in many spiritual callings, that this process is very real.
Yeah,
to work with the records.
So what else would you like to share with us regarding the changes that have happened in your life because of your work with the records, or changes that you've seen happen in other people's lives because of the records?
I have lost fear around showing that I feel compassion. And you might say, why would you be afraid of showing compassion? You can feel taken advantage of if you show a lot of compassion. But if you believe that and know that there is guidance at every moment, that you will not be taken advantage of, that
right. You
can show vulnerabilities, and in fact they are not vulnerabilities but strengths, that the ability to be empathic and understand the plight of other people in a way that you feel it moves through you is a valid form of sharing, that it does not make you smaller to have that depth of feeling or have to hide or make you younger. And in fact, it is a form of wisdom. Many things that are viewed as weaknesses, such as showing deep feelings in certain areas of our culture, these are strengths. They aren't weaknesses if you understand why they're being brought forth to you, why you're able to feel that. When you begin to diminish the depth of your capacity to feel, what happens is it loses its selectivity. In other words, you start to make judgments about that, oh, that's not good, and you try and press that, you work in repressing that. Then you start to diminish yourself, and then the self-worth becomes more questionable. So when you do records work, you see this tremendously magnificent life that each person is working on. It is a true portrait of living, each in their own way. And there's great respect that you have for the various stories and feelings of other people. It definitely enhances that. There's always a sense also that you have a support system that's internal that you can work with. various pathways that will keep you, that are accessible to you, that are there, that you can work with and tap into for anything if you allow that to happen, if you allow that to be a light to you, a beacon. So those are the ways it really has made a very big difference in my life. Plus, I have met people that I never would have met any other way. I for one, my initial intention was to work with the records. I did not know what that meant whatsoever when I declared that.
Right.
Yeah, I did not know. So I literally was sent different places. And thank God I had my sister there, too. So I had a sense of not being alone in the physical, because she and I went together. And we met people and saw things that we never dreamed about. So there was a journeying that we did that was tremendously enriching. Without bringing it forward in a way that we could ever see, we went forward with the work. And now we have a situation where there are many people and a whole organization that has been born practicing this work, which did not exist in the beginning physically.
Right. Yeah, that's when I started. Well, you know, I remember the class that I was in Chicago. Ed Conmee was there, and Ronnie was there, and my son Brian, I brought him along. And I actually came from Cleveland to your class. And what was interesting about that is there was like 30 people in this class. And I remember when Brian walked out of that class, Elena, what he said, he made this comment, because Ed had picked us up at Brian's apartment. My son was in his 20s at the time. And I was thrilled to be able to share this with him, although I had no idea what I was walking into. I was just so curious and drawn by the name, and many of our listeners I just want to share with you, is that there are many people who are drawn to the work of the Akasha because of the vibrational pull of the word Akasha in Akashic Records. But when we're walking to the parking lot, I'll never forget, Brian says to me and to Ed, you know, this is really more like remembering than it is learning anything.
Yes. Very accurate.
And, yeah,
it's a retrieval. Very accurate. It's a remembering.
Right.
Absolutely
right.
Accurate.
Yeah.
And when you speak of the vibration, there's a story that comes forward. When Mary Parker came to stay with us while she was in a class, we had an apartment at the time. When she left, she slept over several days. When she left and went out the door, the shift in vibration was so huge that I fell back into a chair. And
really?
Said that was not a person who was staying with us this weekend.
Wow.
That's how strong of an anchor. That's the energy. It's a subtle energy, but it is very resounding in vibration.
Yeah, she is a presence. She is probably the most, well, beyond her depth, she is the most loving presence.
Yes.
And it's very it's peaceful to be in her and to be around her.
Yes. Yes.
I've got to tell you that you also carry that energy.
Thank you,
you know,
very much. It is because she is my teacher, and that
yeah.
has that's the tuning in, you know, the attunement that all of us get.
Yeah.
That you begin to harmonize with the vibration that the main teacher, which is Mary, is holding, or the main
right.
Person holds the vibration, and the rest of us attune, like an orchestra attuning, to that
vibration.
Well, that's
true. I mean, and I've had people say that, and I'm sure that I'm not the first person to have told you that, but I've had people say that with even in the classes, with the classes I teach, or just being around, they just like to be in the energy of it. They just like to be, you know, like, I like to be in your energy. I like to be in the energy of the workshop. And I encourage people also that when during the workshop or once they go home, that it's really acceptable for them to literally open their records and just sit in the energy of that divine love.
Yes. it is a very pure energy. It is not entangled. The skill is in the beingness into it. In other words,
yes,
allowing it, trusting, and moving deeper into that deep, heartfelt space, which is very spiritual. It comes from a very high place, but it is anchored in the heart, and it is a place people love to be. They love that area of the truth. It is a very, it is a creative space. It is constantly in creation, but it is a secure, safe place.
Exactly. I'm going to just take this. We only have about two more minutes left because we're going to have to sign off around 25 minutes after, so that we have time for the other person to come on. We are the first. We are the first program of the, what they call the late night lineup. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that we're going to be back on the air with Elena Havilah Lieberman at 8 o'clock, and you can find that on the VBSRadio.com website under the daily lineup. So for the late night lineup, we're the first program, and for the the daily lineup, we're the last program, and you'll be able to call in your questions then, or you can email them to me. You can email your questions, and we can cover what we can on the program with Elena. You can email them to me at akashicwisdom@aol.com. That's akashicwisdom. @AOL.com, and I will receive your email questions. Just want to also tell you, everyone, that you can find out more about Elena Havilah Lieberman on our the ARC website, as well as myself. Actually, my bio is not up there, but Elena's is, and you can the ARC website is www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And Elena, would you please just give us your phone number again for them to contact you one more time?
Yes, it's 773-743-8104.
Great. And just want to give you some contact information, folks, on me. My telephone number, my office telephone number is 216-691-1233, and you can call that anytime you'd like. I'm actually going to be in Seattle. We're going to be doing a workshop, a level one and level two, in Seattle, Washington, on June. This level two is June 8th, 9th, and 10th, and the level one is June 9th and 10th at various times of the day. So give me a call if this is of interest to you, or consider going to Chicago and taking the level one with Elena. And that would be when again? July when?
The last weekend of July, July 28th and 29th.
Great, great. Let's talk just for a moment. Do you have any ideas of what you'd like to bring forth for the second segment of these shows? And there was like for tonight when we talked, it's going to be Akashic Wisdom, and this is the name of the second show, folks. Do you have any sense now from the records of what we're going to talk about then? Because I want the records to work through us. And if they have a message that they can give our audience at that time, if there's a theme you'd like to bring about, or we can also leave it to be a surprise.
There
Which
is
like?
No limit to the potential that a person has once they are inspired by the force of their soul. That's what I would like to talk about. That's what I'm getting from the record.
The unlimited
potential
nature
and what you can bring forward
potential.
Into your life. Once you have accessed that level of that feels so deeply like your soul reaching beyond yourself, there is no limit to that. You can do that. You are able to do those things to create a very full, rich life for yourself.
And so we'll be talking about how one does that on the Akashic Wisdom Show tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific time, and you folks can adjust from there. There will be a different set of telephone numbers that you can call in your questions. If you'd like to email those questions beforehand, that would be great. We're going to have to sign off for right now for just for a little while, and then we'll tune back in and talk again. So at this point, I'm going to close the records of this program right now, and I'm going to say I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones, and Elena Havilah Lieberman for being our guest. And we're going to say thank you
so much. It was wonderful. You are doing a beautiful job, and may the light that we have seen in the records really shine forth to everyone who is listening and to everyone who seeks their wonderful attunement with the divine.
Absolutely. And with that, we close the records of the Ask the Akasha show by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed of this show. God bless us all.
Bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later, Elena. I love you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.